This is Line Break, where we deconstruct poetry written by young writers and discuss the inspiration and intention behind their poems. Take a pause and enjoy the line breaks. Here's episode 28, where I talk with Saskia G about her poem On Days Like These. Also, I just wanted to say happy holidays and happy new year to everyone. I hope you have a really chill and relaxing end to 2020 and an awesome start to 2021. I'm so excited to bring episodes of Line Break to you all through YWP in 2021 and to continue the Oh Snap Open Mic series. I hope you enjoy this episode.
Hi, this is Saskia G and this is On Days Like These. On days like these, we hold tea between our teeth, asked to be calmed by some warm, hopeless skin like a thin line of chai against porcelain. Milk on your lips, I'm waiting. An acquired feel winter has, and 16 years of ice I've swallowed. Sometimes I want you to spell out a syllable in my voice. Words seem so much kinder when they drip from your tongue. If I could have even a bowl of your mistakes, I'd place them on the kitchen counter beside a warm plate of figs. How much I would like to trade errors because yours at least make a nice centerpiece. Before we drift, like thick fish bones in a tall glass of water, close the door and tell me how you spoke when you were brittle, how you learned to swim, which breaths you choose from a line of wind. Clean out your licorice drawer and fill it with rice. Try to find me in the grains. Who? I am one and you are all of them. With strawberry eyes on mine, I am sold by stomach linings. Keep me safe, solid part. Don't let me be again but a small sleeping tree.
Thank you so much. So what was your inspiration for this?
This poem is about being jealous of someone. It's not really about a specific person. I just took a few people that I was feeling jealous of and combined them into this one idealized version of a person to kind of represent all of my self-doubt, I guess.
What was the first line that you thought of and how did you go from there?
It was the first one, On Days Like These, We Hold Tea Between Our Teeth. That first stanza is about drinking tea for comfort, and then being calmed by a warm, hopeless skin is a hug. And usually when I write, I don't plan it out. I have a feeling and then stuff just comes out. I feel like I'm not really the one writing. I'm kind of the one interpreting it after.
That's really interesting. Yeah, I feel the same way that I just let whatever comes out, come out. Like,
yeah.
I think it's really important to not limit yourself when you're writing too and to not be like, that's kind of a weird metaphor. Maybe I should make it more like normal or whatever.
Yeah, definitely. And sometimes I'll be writing and then the finished product is something completely different than I was trying to say.
Yeah, it's like, whoa, that's miles away from where I started, but I still love it.
Yeah.
So what phrase or line felt like the turning point or like you had finally captured what you had been imagining?
I think the line that says, who I am one and you are all of them, because I was thinking about the licorice drawer filled with rice and how she wouldn't be able to notice me because I'd just be one of the grains and she was all of the grains. So I just felt like she was this overpowering, perfect person and I was just a small one.
Mm-hmm. And it's such an interesting metaphor to me too. There's so many lines in here that I love. We'll get into that in a second, but this is the revised version of a previous poem that you wrote. And What was the editing or revising process like?
The other one, I didn't quite vibe with it anymore. There are just some things that I like to change and I don't know. I just deleted some stuff and added some more stuff. I never really have a plan of what I'm trying to revise or what I'm trying to do when I'm writing. I just kind of do it.
And did you have a difficult time deciding like which lines to keep and which lines to get rid of?
Yeah, there are some that I wasn't sure if they captured the feeling of what I was trying to say. The old one I had written a while ago, so there were some lines that I just thought were kind of cringy.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to take those out.
Mm. It's kind of like the kill your darlings thing. Have you heard people say that or like writers?
I don't think I have actually.
Yeah, I think it started like a long time ago, but some Sir Arthur, not the one who wrote Sherlock Holmes, but some other Sir Arthur said that you should murder your darlings, but it became kill your darlings, which is the idea that even if you work really hard on a section of writing like a poem, or a character or a plot line, you might still have to get rid of it in order to make the story better.
Oh,
Yeah, so it's like, don't be afraid to get rid of something you worked really hard on because it might not be right for your writing.
Yeah, that's important.
I know. So I think it's important to remember too is that even if you put a lot of effort into something and you feel kind of guilty getting rid of it, you can still use it later on and kind of recycle the phrase.
Yeah.
Do you find that you have kind of common themes amongst your poems, like a certain line or a certain image?
I do. I have a few words that I use a lot, like ache and chamomile and stuff like soft and milk. There's just a few that just come out of my mouth or my fingers, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting too to go back and look at my old writing and see which words definitely stuck with me. Because I went through a phase where everything was like, oh gosh, I can't remember now. But it was like very specific words, and I was like, wow, it's interesting that that's like the one word that stuck with me.
Yeah, when I was younger and I'd be writing, when I was in like elementary school, I'd look on thesaurus.com to find the right words, and they were just not the right words to use. So it's my old writing is interesting and sounds very pretentious for an elementary school.
Mine too. I was trying to be so metaphorical, and sometimes it was just like, no, it's so cringy. I feel like you have a very distinct voice, especially in this poem. How did you find your voice as a writer?
I'm not really sure. It just kind of comes out like this. I don't really like to think about punctuation, or I also don't write in capital letters. And I just don't really think about grammar when I'm writing, which I guess could make it a specific style.
Yeah, I've been writing a lot of lowercase poetry recently too. I don't really know why, because I go through phases of having like every line, the first letter of every line capitalized, then no capital letters at all. And I don't really know why I switch between the two, but it's interesting to see. I guess it's kind of like the mood of the poem. Does this feel like a lowercase poem, or like it has to be kind of formal? Because I
Yeah.
think in my mind, I see lowercase poems as like very soft and like emotional, and there's nothing really harsh about it.
Yeah, when I'm writing on paper, I switch between uppercase and lowercase, like in the middle of a word. So, yeah,
That's really cool.
I don't do it on purpose, and my teachers don't always like it, but
It's so interesting to me too, now that you mentioned handwriting, because I feel like this is definitely something that you can see with my writing when I write out poems by hand. In the beginning, like the first three lines are very neat. Like you can definitely make out what it says. Then by the end of the poem, it's like a complete mess. You have
yeah.
no idea what the words are. It doesn't even look like English. And it's so funny to see how in the beginning I'm like super focused and like, okay, I'm gonna make this look neat and perfect and pretty. And then by the end, I'm just like, get all the words out.
Definitely relate to
Yeah, I become a little bit frantic, but in a
that.
good way. So, what advice would you give to someone else who's trying to find their voice as a writer?
I would say just to do it a lot and don't really think too deeply about what you're trying to write all the time or how good it has to be. Just write no matter what it is. And also don't get rid of writing that you don't like, which is something that I struggle with a lot. Whenever I write in notebooks, I read it a lot and I have to rip out the pages to a point where I don't have any notebook left. So I would suggest not doing that, and I have to work on that too.
That's very good advice. Thank you. So there are a lot of lines in here that I love. Basically every line. On days like these, we hold tea between our teeth, a thin line of chai against porcelain. 16 years of ice I've swallowed. Sometimes I want you to spell out a syllable in my voice. These opening lines are so powerful and so like strong. What was your inspiration for them?
The 16 years of ice I'd swallowed, I was at a little writing class that the library was having, and we were doing stream of consciousness, and that was something that just came out of the stream of consciousness that I was doing, and I kept it. The thin line of chai against porcelain, that was a cup of chai tea, and I was just thinking about the cup holding the tea, and there was such a thin line because the cup was so thin between my mouth and the actual tea that, yeah. And what was the last one?
Sometimes I want you to spell out a syllable in my voice.
Oh, that was about this person because I didn't really think that she had any flaws. So her saying words that I'd say, I felt like they sounded better when she said them. So I wanted her to say them in my voice so that maybe I would feel differently about myself.
And that's so cool that certain lines come from like a stream of consciousness, because I feel like I've done those before, like a free write where you just kind of write whatever you think of. And it's interesting because I feel like sometimes I just get really weird and like nonsense, useless pieces. But then sometimes I get one sentence and it's like, whoa, this is amazing. How did I just randomly think of that?
Yeah.
Do you often do that kind of writing on your own, or is it only when you're in like a class setting?
I do that on my own a lot to get out my feelings and just words that are stuck in my brain that I need to put into a sentence.
And some more lines. Place them on the kitchen counter beside a warm plate of figs. How much I would like to trade errors because yours at least make a nice centerpiece. What was your inspiration for this kind of section?
My mom had put a plate of figs on the table and the sun was reflecting on them and they just looked so pretty. And I was thinking about this person and how her mistakes, the fact that, well, I was thinking that she didn't have any mistakes and she didn't have any flaws, and I did. So I was thinking that a bowl of her mistakes would probably look as pretty as this bowl of figs.
Very interesting. I think it's so cool how you have such unique like images that come to life.
Thank you.
So before we drift like thick fish bones in a tall glass of water, close the door and tell me how you spoke when you were brittle. This is so beautiful and a tiny bit creepy, but in a really cool way. And how did you kind of come up with the image of thick fish bones in a glass of water?
I was thinking about a dead fish in the ocean. And after it died, its bones kind of separating from each other, so it becomes not a fish anymore. And I was thinking about the fact that a fish dying in the ocean goes pretty unnoticed to us because we don't know all the fish personally. I guess I don't know all the fish personally. So because the ocean is so big, it doesn't really affect us too much if one fish dies. And I was just thinking about the fact that when me and this person drift apart, we won't really notice because we don't even really know each other.
Wow, that's very interesting. I can definitely relate to that. There are some friendships that I've had where it's like we just drift apart even though we've known each other for so long. Mm-hmm. And it's like, doesn't even matter what I'm doing right now because you've just moved on with your life. And I'm like kind of non-existent to you now. Some more lines. Which breaths you choose from a line of wind, clean out your licorice drawer and fill it with rice. Try to find me in the grains, who I am one and you're all of them. And I know that we talked about how you came up with that before, but what was more of an inspiration behind that part?
Well, the first part, how you learn to swim, I was thinking that this person was so not human because of her perfection. And I think of swimming in a pool as something that's really human. So the idea of her learning to swim seemed really unnatural to me because I just imagine that's something that people do that have flaws and live actual lives. And since I didn't think she really did that, it just seemed strange to me. And which breaths you choose from a line of wind was just the way that she'd breathe. Like, how different is it to the way that I breathe? And how much better is it than the way that I breathe?
Thank you for that. And that reminded me when you said about learning how to swim and stuff. And I'm sorry, but I've been watching a lot of TikToks lately, and there's this thing going around where I think it's like these girlfriends say to their boyfriends or something, "You look like you don't know how to swim."
I've seen that,
and that's just the only thing I can think of right now.
I'm just sad.
It's so funny, but I feel like it kind of ties into what you were saying, though. It's like, you know, you kind of look like, or you seem like you're too perfect to have had to learn how to swim, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Inspiration from TikTok is always good.
Oh, yeah. I've been watching so many TikToks lately. It's ruining my mind. So, Don't Let Me Be Again But a Small Snipping Tree. And what was your inspiration for this ending?
That is something that I'm not completely sure what it means. I guess I was thinking about sleeping and how she does more than sleeping. And just don't let me just fall asleep and let me be interesting and let me do something interesting like you.
All right. Thank you very much. How did you first become interested in writing?
I was not into reading when I was little, but then I read the book Matilda by Roald Dahl, and I loved the movie also, and I wanted to be just like her. So I started reading, and then I discovered writing. So that started all of that. My grandmother also loved poetry, so I got a lot of inspiration to do that from her.
And what draws you to poetry instead of fiction or nonfiction, for example?
It just seems more natural to me to just write something and not have it be incorrect, because I feel like there's no wrong way to write a poem, and writing a book is a lot more structural and based on lots of rules and grammar and stuff like that, depending on what kind of book, I guess.
Yeah, that's kind of the same way that I feel, where I feel like with books, you have to plan out everything. You have to figure out, like, where is this plot going? How does this sentence help the story? And you can't just have a sentence in there because it feels right to you.
Yes.
You know, and I feel like the whole part of why I write poetry is because it just sounds right to me and I can't really explain it. But if I was writing a book, I couldn't just be like, oh, well, this whole scene sounds right to me. No, I feel like you kind of have to have an overall meaning of it. So
yeah, and whenever I try to write long things, like short stories or something, I never finish them because I just get distracted or I don't know where to go next. And poetry is usually shorter, so I can usually finish it and be satisfied with it quicker.
Yeah, me too. And how did you discover YWP and what role does it play in your life?
There was a poetry reading at the bookstore last year, I think. And somebody was there that was a friend of, or a mom of a friend that I had, and she mentioned it. And I looked into it the next day and I got an account, and it's been really fun. I hadn't been on for a while, but I've been on more recently, and I really enjoyed reading all the poems that I've seen, and everyone is so nice, so it's been really nice.
Oh, that's great. I'm so glad that you can be happy amongst us. So our questions, do you think that you would create a collection of poetry in the future?
I think I would, yes. I would probably be very judgmental when I put them all together, and the same way that I'd rip apart notebooks, I feel like I would take away a lot of things. So as I work on that, I think that that would be something that I would enjoy doing.
Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to make a collection of poetry, and I hope I can in the future, but I feel like the main problem that I have is, like, which poems do I include? You know, like, which go together and which are more important than the others, which is a really difficult thing to do, actually, is to, like, rank your own writing in order of importance and stuff.
Yeah.
But I actually made, like, a mock poetry collection for my, I think it was 8th grade poetry course. It was really cool, and I found it the other day in my closet because it's, like, a physical book. And I was looking through all my poems, and I was like, oh, this is so sweet. And I was like, I can't believe that I forgot about this because it was like only a few years ago. And it's so cool.
I think it would be really cool to look back on it.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting too, because I had forgotten about so many of those poems and so much of that, like, time in my life. So it was cool to, like, go back to that period and, like, go back to my 13-year-old mind.
Yeah, 13-year-old minds are interesting.
Very chaotic. There is a lot going on. So this is a very important question. I said it before many times. What books have shaped you as a writer and a human being?
Ooh. Well, I would say poetry, because I love poetry. Emily Dickinson has had a very big inspiration. She's been a very big inspiration on me and my poetry. I just find her so interesting and her poetry so interesting, and I just love her so much. And she was also someone who inspired me to write poetry as well.
Very cool. I read a lot of her poetry for that poetry course I was just talking about, and just like on my own. And her writing style is just so unique and so cool.
Yeah.
And I had a bunch of sticky notes on my wall, like right behind my computer, and I just took them all down, but they were little snippets of like poetry that I had read and little lines that I liked. And one of them was, I think I heard a fly buzz and then I died, which I'm pretty sure is Emily Dickinson. And I was like, whoa, that's really cool.
Yeah, she has a lot of good images.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I've really wanted to get more into reading poetry lately, because I feel like I go through certain like phases of reading a lot of poetry and then not reading any. And mm-hmm. I just feel so much more inspired when I have that in me.
Yeah, I think a big part of writing is reading.
Mm-hmm. Where do you usually find inspiration for your writing?
Mostly my feelings, that they play a big part in what I'm writing, but also just small little things like drinking tea or a person walking or something.
Mm-hmm. I think that it's cool to see how some people get inspiration from very like specific experiences and stuff, and some are just from kind of vague things like emotions and stuff. And it's cool to see how they kind of move off of that topic. Mm-hmm. Do you write about experiences too?
I don't actually.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something I should do. I keep a lot of sketchbooks where I kind of write a little bit and draw about what's going on in my life, but I never really devote like pages of writing about experiences that I've had.
Yeah, I sometimes I do, but sometimes I feel like it's a little bit awkward in a way if I've had experience with someone and then I write about it and then they see it.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I don't know if I really want you to know that that's what I was thinking about. So then of course I try to like disguise it amongst all these different metaphors and stuff, but I feel like no matter how hard I try to disguise some person that I know in my life who I'm referencing in a poem, it's always very obvious who it is. How do you find new poems to read? Through books at the library or YWP or online?
I like going on YWP to read the poems that people my age are writing. I find that really fun. But besides that, books usually. I work at the library actually, so there's lots of books around me, well, that I'm shelving. So I spend a lot of time around them, but also just online.
That's really cool. I used to volunteer at the library for 2 years. It was so cool. I did a lot of shelving and I helped out at like the events for the little kids, which was really fun. And just did a lot of that. But it was so cool because I had so much fun just being with the books.
Yeah.
And spending time with them.
So especially during the pandemic, it's only a few people in the building at a time. So when I'm in there, it's usually really dark and there's nobody there, which is really fun. Besides a few other people.
Yeah. There's something like so cool and mysterious about being in a library like by yourself.
Yeah, especially when it rains.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's so cool. So, like, comforting in a way. I haven't gone to the library a lot recently because I think Where I live, it's mainly just curbside pickup, so you have to like place an order over the phone, and I feel like that defeats like the whole fun of going in and like picking out books and stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
Because a lot of like why I enjoy going to the library is just walking through the like stacks and seeing like, oh, does this catch my eye? Oh, what's this about? Ooh, I should read it. And then if I have to like pick it out beforehand, it's like, well, I don't want to like know what I'm gonna get. I want to like have it be fun in the moment.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But hopefully I'll be able to get some more books soon. I've had a really bad problem lately because I've been going to little free libraries and collecting everything that sounds cool. And I have so many books right now, I can't believe it.
That sounds like a good problem.
It is a good problem, but at the same time, I feel like I can't have so many. I should get rid of them. But then the problem is like, well, if this book doesn't sound good and I haven't read it yet, what if I end up reading it and I really like it and I want to keep it?
Exactly.
I know. So it's this like terrible kind of situation where I want to get rid of them, but I can't because what if they're really good?
Yeah.
And also, I just started, last night I started reading the third book in the Twilight series.
Oh, which I haven't actually.
It's not like, I'm just going to say, it's not the best writing. And I'm very confused right now because I'm like 100 and something pages in and it's all dialogue. Like, is there no description? What's going on? It's so confusing.
I actually got it from my school library once in 7th or 8th grade, mm-hmm. and then I lost it, so I had mm-hmm. to pay for it, and then I found it, mm-hmm. and it's on my bookshelf now, and I own it now. I have to own it, so.
Yeah, I've done that too with library copies where I just forget about them, and then actually this happened once. I forgot about like 2 books that ended up being under my bed, and they restricted my access at the library.
Really?
Yeah, I went in to get books and they're like, oh, sorry, you can't do that. Gotta find those books that are missing first. It was so sad. It was like they took away my license.
Yeah, exactly.
What is the best writing advice that you've ever gotten?
Write a lot. It doesn't matter what you're writing. Just open a page and just let it out. I find myself stuck a lot because I feel like I need to write something perfect. And I hated the idea of just writing badly, but it's actually really important to just not think about it too hard sometimes and get your brain flowing.
Yeah, I'm a perfectionist too, and I feel like I'm always trying to just make everything so neat and perfect. Yeah. And I don't really want to have to go back and like fix anything or have to like make it better. I just want to get it perfect on my first try. So that's something that I definitely struggle with, but I feel like it's getting better. I'm trying to get better at just like accepting my writing and being like, all right, well, if I don't like it, then that's okay. I can put it aside for now and I don't have to have it like perfect.
Yeah, that's important.
Mm-hmm. And this is something I just thought of, but do you ever record yourself reading your poems?
I do. Mm-hmm. I have a YouTube channel.
Oh, cool.
I post a video with the voiceover of the poems, and I also just have a bunch of them in my voice recording app just to see what they sound like, which sometimes reading in your head and reading aloud sounds different. So it helps me.
Yeah, I agree. It sounds a lot different. So I've been reading it out loud and then listening back to it and then changing it. I feel like that helps me a lot when I'm trying to edit a poem. Or sometimes I just read it to see what it sounds like without even editing it. Because I'm like, ooh, what would this sound like? Sometimes I also put it into this like text reader that you can find. I think it's some website. I can't remember what it's called. But basically just copy and paste your writing in and you can have like these robotic voices read it. And I found a British woman. And I mentioned this in a podcast like 5 months ago, and I still do this. And it's this British woman, and she reads my poetry, and I'm like, this sounds so sweet and so comforting, and it always sounds so like elegant when she reads it.
So nice. I made my Siri on my phone British.
Oh, that's so cool. I really, really want a British accent. I know that that's kind of like a weird thing to say, but I feel like everything just sounds so beautiful when British people say it.
Yeah, I agree.
So like delicate and well mannered. And Americans just have like such fat voices. So another related question is, what writing advice would you give to someone else?
I would say, well, again, just write a lot and don't be too judgmental, because doing stuff that you're not satisfied with is part of the process.
I think that's really important too, is to just allow yourself to fail in a way. Mm-hmm. And to just say that I don't like this writing at all. It's really terrible. It makes me cringe, but I'm going to save it. I'm going to put it in a little file or a little notebook and keep it for later. Maybe I'll go back to it, read it through, and like find a line or an image that I like, and then use it again.
So. Yeah, it's always really hard for me to do. But when I go back and find writing that I haven't gotten rid of, it's always really nice to have that. So I'm always glad when I do save my writing.
Yeah, and I think it's cool too, because sometimes I can find like a concept in a poem, even if I don't like the way that I wrote it or like the format, I can still use the general concept again.
Yeah.
So like a lot of the poems on my blog actually started off as like a sentence or something, or a little mini poem, and then I was like, I don't really like how this is going, so I'm going to redo it. So yes. It's sometimes it helps to like be able to recycle your poetry in a way. To be able to just like kind of reword everything.
Yeah. I love the poems on your blog, by the way.
Oh, thank you so much. Actually, my most recent one, it was really cool because it started off as just like one sentence, and then I started writing it like year by year, because it was about basically 16 years of my life. And just like what my life has been like. And so I did it like year by year, like 16, 15, 14, blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, this is too straightforward. I'm not really a straightforward writer. I don't like this. So then I redid it a few times and just kind of swapped the lines out and just made it more like abstract, mm-hmm. which I feel like definitely fits my style more.
That's great. I love the way it turned out.
Oh, thank you so much. I think that that's a really important thing to do as a writer, is to kind of, I mean, you don't have to, but kind of establish what your style is, and then you can sort of figure out why you don't like a poem, instead of just being like, I don't like this, but I don't know why. You can be like, oh, I don't like this because it's too straightforward, or because it's too metaphorical, or because of whatever.
Exactly.
What do you think is your major kind of writing goal for the future? Like, as we mentioned, creating poetry collection or writing short stories or novel.
I think creating a poetry collection, but also after the pandemic is no longer such a big thing. Probably open mic nights in person, which it's so great that you can have that YWP is having them on Zoom too. That's really cool. I'd like to just be more open about where I put my poetry.
Mm-hmm. I agree. It's very great. And I have been wanting to submit to some more writing contests lately, but I feel like I'm kind of confused because I'm in college right now, even though I'm 16. And I feel like, can I still submit to high school writing contests, or do I have to go to college? But do I qualify for college writing contests?
Good question. So, maybe you get both.
Yeah, I'm kind of in this like bridge right now, trying to figure out which direction to go in, but I'd really like to submit more of my writing. My goal is to create a poetry collection. I do want to do that. And I also want to write a novel, but I feel like I'm not going to push myself to do it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Just like something I can work on bit by bit over the next few years.
Yeah. I think during quarantine, people have put a lot of pressure on themselves to do a lot of things like write novels and stuff.
Oh yeah, and to like get in shape and do fitness and do this and do that. It's like just
it's
calm,
okay.
Just be calm.
There's a lot going on. It's okay to just not do anything all the time.
Yeah, to just have like quiet moments where you can just read, drink a cup of tea. I think that having that kind of peaceful time for yourself, it's just as important as like going and getting stuff done.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the kind of person who's always trying to move on to the next thing on my to-do list, always trying to like just accomplish goals and do this and do that. So it's really meaningful and important when I can just take time to drink some tea, read a book, write a poem, or just sit on my bed and relax.
It's always very satisfying.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like that just makes me feel so much better. Even if it's just like 5 minutes where I can just sit down and read a poem or write a poem or something. It just makes me feel so refreshed.
Yeah. It's like taking a walk, but with writing.
Yeah, exactly. And now I don't really want to take a walk because it's like 7 degrees out, yeah. But it's still really nice to do that. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. I'm so glad that we got to talk today about your writing and tons of other cool things.
Thank you so much.
Yes, of course. This has been episode 28 of Line Break. I hope you enjoyed and stay tuned for episode 29. Bye!